faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you are with us. Let me see myself in that right there if you could, guys. All right, joining me now is going to be Dr. Andy Woods and Dr. Rob Lindstedt. I had them with me last night on television for an emergency broadcast. I set aside my normal teaching time on Sunday night for an emergency broadcast because of what was happening in Israel. And frankly, I couldn't find the story on any U.S. outlets last night when I began looking early in the afternoon. It was only through sites out of Israel. So it was taking the U.S. media a while to catch up on the story. I didn't find it on even one conservative outlet. So again, it was a Sunday afternoon, and I guess people were taking their Sunday afternoon nap or I don't know what. But we were probably the first broadcast to cover this in depth last night for an hour. Very interesting conversation. We're going to cover some new information today. If you'd like to watch last night's full one-hour emergency broadcast, it is already posted at WVWTV.com for you to pick up on demand when convenient for you. WVWTV.com. But we're going to pick up on that story and several others. A lot of protest in the streets. I remember Jimmy DeYoung saying a few years ago that he would not be shocked to see Israel go to a civil war. Well, that word is actually being thrown around right now in Israel. This is a condition that Rob Lindstedt reported last night he has never seen before in Israel. So joining me now is Dr. Rob Lindstedt. We're working on getting Dr. Woods. Dr. Lindstedt, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you again. And I have to admit that this is really unparalleled times. And so glad that in the midst of what I think is some pretty alarming news. It really is alarming because so much of the world security is there. And to think that we sit with the answer in our Bible is a great comfort. Talking to several people that watched the show last night, they also said, what a difference of watching a broadcast on Frank's speech versus what was taking place in so many news outlets. First of all, like you say, no one else is covering this. And secondly, they never give a solution. They just point out all the bad news, and there's plenty of bad news, but I'm glad that we've got some good news as well.
Amen to that. And Dr. Woods called me after we got off the air last night saying the same thing you just said. He said, that's a news show. We just did an hour news show like no other news show because we did what the corporate mainstream media won't do, and that is we brought in the biblical aspect, the Bible prophecy aspect, the biblical reasons that this is happening and where we're going biblically. And sadly, this is also, Dr. Lindstedt, as you very well know, going untouched by most of evangelicalism because they don't want to take a position or a stance on Bible prophecy. I was sitting at my desk working today, and I got to thinking, you know, the landscape of the evangelical world, evangelicalism as we know has collapsed. Francis Schaeffer warned about that in the 1970s. He wrote a book warning about the absolute collapse of the evangelical influence in America as we know it. The word evangelical doesn't even mean anything anymore. It's just, even the word Christian has become a word that's so diluted. You have to really get behind what do you mean by that, right? Because you got people running around claiming to be evangelicals and Christians that are promoting everything that's antithetical to what the Bible proclaims and teaches. But I was sitting at my desk today thinking, when did this accelerate? Because I spent years traveling and doing a seminar on the New Age movement in churches, and then, of course, as a classically trained tenor, doing concerts in Chuck Swindoll's church, D. James Kennedy's church, and many, many other churches, singing and speaking for huge Christian school association meetings, and that at some point, we began to see that our message was becoming increasingly unwelcomed in the American church. And I was sitting there today thinking, when did this happen? When did it really accelerate? And I have to say, I believe it started, as Francis Schaeffer warned, in the 70s, 60s and 70s, but it really picked up steam and started growing rapidly like a cancer in 1995 when Rick Warren released his book, the purpose-driven church. And I looked up the stats on that today, Dr. Lindstedt, and found that that book went skyrocketed to being a bestseller within weeks of its coming out in 1995. And you tracked the collapse of the evangelical church in America, embracing of emergent church philosophies. And you can see that from 95 until right after the turn of 2000, that's when we began to see increasingly churches just collapsing. And now they won't talk about creation versus evolution. They won't talk about Bible prophecy. But praise the Lord, we can stand in the gap and offer this. But I think I just found that timing interesting. I thought you might find the same thing very interesting, that acceleration since 1995 and the release of Rick Warren's book.
You know, you mentioned that, and I go to a lot of prophecy conferences. We just had a creation conference, and you're right. The people that I see there, there comes a time when you say, I want to be biblical, and I don't have to be big. The emphasis was on a big church. It was like whoever had the biggest church was the correct church. I'm not criticizing a big church. You know, early church in Jerusalem, you know, they had 2,000 converts in one day.
Wow.
That'd be a pretty big church, you know, there on the day of Pentecost. But the point is, so much of the time, the compromise that's taken in order to keep the big church coming may not make it so it's biblical. And so I think what people need to say is my church biblical? Is it meeting in such a way that please, Lord, the bottom line is, do we bring glory to God? And if a congregation of 10 can do that, that's great. If it's 200, that's great. If it's 2,000, that's great. Isn't it interesting? No size was given to constitute a church. And so I think you're right. I think when the emphasis came on bigness as opposed to biblical correctness, that's when we really saw the compromise. And it became obvious after COVID, because then people had a little excuse for a year or so not to go. And now many of those that dropped out have never been back. And my hope is that maybe we can encourage some of those people to go back, because, you know, the Bible is clear. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. We encourage one another. We help one another, and we minister to one another. So
I'm not disagreeing with you at all. But I will tell you something that we're seeing is people in. Well, I just talked to someone this week about the churches in Minneapolis, St. Paul, where I used to live, and two young men who want to go to a Bible teaching church that teaches correctly, defines the gospel correctly, defines eschatology correctly, they can't find one.
Yeah.
And that's 3 to 4 million people living in Minneapolis, St. Paul, right? I know that we get that all the time. People saying, hey, we're not looking for the perfect church. I'm not perfect. We're not looking for the perfect church. We're just looking to go to get fed. And when they go, they're not being fed. It's so shallow, number one. Number two, some of them won't touch Bible prophecy, or if they do, they teach preterism or partial preterism, or the idea that, you know, we're going to usher in the kingdom of God in social justice. So it's so bad that what we're seeing, and I don't know if there's been any surveys done yet, but we're seeing that churches like that of like Dr. Woods, the bulk of his, I'll have him tell me what I got this right, but I think a huge percentage of the people that donate to his church don't physically attend because they're from around the country, and they watch his service Sunday morning, and that's their church because they can't find one in their area. And the more rural area you get, the worse it gets, because you don't have a town of 3-4 million and to pick from. I would be very interested to find out what percentage of solid Bible committed people are now having to find a church online. Any comment there before we go to Dr. Woods?
Well, I don't know what that percent is. I know it's great because we have a lot of people that follow us on BTIP now org, and we're the church for those people. And and we encourage them to go in person when they can, when they can find a Bible-believing church.
Right.
One point I want to follow up on is, you know, also remember Dave Hunt wrote the book, A Woman Rides the Beast.
Yes.
And so I think there came a time when the church tried to say, okay, let's try to bring the Catholic Church in. Let's try to bring Chrislam in. And they brought in things that it was crazy. There's no doctrinal compatibility with some of these things. And even Mormons, I got in trouble the other day because I said that Mormons weren't really believers. And then I made a statement about Jehovah Fault Witnesses. Well, that's what I think they are. If they don't recognize Jesus, how can they be a true witness of Christ? So, so I'm on the outskirts with a lot of people, but that's okay. I'm only worried about, you know, if Jesus Christ says, you know what, you're doing it right. You believe the Bible and you're trying to preach the true gospel. That's what I'm worried about. I don't have to win votes, and I'm thankful for that.
Amen to that. We're now joined, after a little technical difficulty, we're joined by Dr. Woods. Dr. Woods, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, guys, good to be with you again today.
I don't know how much of our discussion you've just heard, Dr. Woods, but I wanted to bring you in on this before we move to Israel and talk about what's happening there, as we did last night for an hour. But we were talking about the fact that, you know, we've had a collapse of the evangelical church in America, and I sat down in my office today just thinking about this, and I, of course, having traveled the country and speaking and in concert with churches and Christian school associations, you know, found a book, you know, my bookings were really solid. I had no shortage of bookings. Then when we started Worldview Weekends in February of 93, we had churches lining up, sponsoring 300 tickets. They would sponsor 300 tickets just to secure a Worldview Weekend to their town. And then we started seeing just a collapse of evangelicalism, where we couldn't talk about Islam. They didn't want to hear about Bible prophecy. They didn't want to talk about creation versus evolution. And I started thinking, you know, Francis Schaeffer predicted this in the 70s, but when did this really speed up? And I went and looked up when Purpose Driven Church was published by Rick Warren in 95, and that thing became a bestseller within weeks. And I think that poll, the idea of going around polling the unbeliever, doing a survey in your community, what do you want in a church? Well, of course the unbeliever is not going to say, I want to learn about creation versus evolution. I want to learn about Bible prophecy, right? And so we started catering to the goats. And now all of a sudden, Worldview Weekends is too controversial because they speak about Islam. They're bringing in Ron Carlson talking about the cults, the big cults of the day, as Rob was just referring to. They want to talk about creation versus evolution. We can't touch those issues. I think the church, evangelical church, not the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against that, but the evangelical church in America really accelerated its collapse about 1995. What are your thoughts on that as we go to break, Dr. Woods?
Well, I would start it earlier with a man named Robert Schuller. And Schuller actually taught Rick Warren.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I'll hopefully have a chance on the other side of the break to explain that chain.
I agree, but the one thing I would say is that Schuller wasn't able to take his message, for whatever reason, as mainstream as Rick Warren. And I don't know if that's because Rick Warren was Rupert Murdoch wrapped his arms around Rick Warren, which I think that's the case. Rick Warren being Southern Baptist, and so he was able to get credence. But Rick Warren seemed to be able to get and go further than Schuller ever dreamed. But you're right, he was discipled by him. We'll be right back with these two guys and what's happening in Israel. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us, Worldview Radio. Our website, worldviewradio.com. My guest, Dr. Woods, his website, andywoodsministries.org. Rob Lindstedt, Dr. Rob Lindstedt, his website, BibleTipNow.org, BibleTipNow.org. Dr. Woods, finish up your thoughts there, if you would, please, and then we'll move to Israel. Robert Shuler, you're right, mentored Rick Warren. That's absolutely true. Rick admitted that, along with his wife, Kay. Pick it up right there, please.
Well, actually, let me take it back a little further to a man named Norman Vincent Peale. And the only thing you really need to know about Norman Vincent Peale is what the late Walter Martin said about him. He said, Paul is appealing, that Peale's theology is appalling. And it was really Norman Vincent Peale that sort of brought in this sort of motivational speech type thing into Christendom. And you can get churches to get big that way, which you can. And today, if you look at a guy like Joel Osteen, everybody kind of thinks he's a new phenomenon, but he's just a younger version of Norman Vincent Peale.
That's right.
But Peale essentially influenced Robert Shuler. I grew up about 15 minutes from the Crystal Cathedral there in the Garden Grove area. And of course, it's Robert Shuler. You can see him on YouTube as a very young man, boasting that he went out to take a survey in the neighborhood about what people want, and that's how he got his church to grow. And he says nobody was interested in expositional preaching, which obviously you wouldn't expect an unsaved person to be interested in that. Well, Shuler, who was influenced by Peale, influenced a man named Rick Warren. And Rick Warren's influence is related some, as you said, to Rupert Murdoch, but he has great inroads into the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention. And so essentially this seeker-friendly philosophy, you know, started to take over the Southern Baptist churches, and it kind of blossomed from there to the point where, you know, the book of Amos chapter 8 verse 11 says they will stagger to and fro. There'll be a famine in the land. People will stagger to and fro seeking the word of God, and they will not be able to find it. And that's essentially what we see happening right now in the United States of America, because all of these churches are aiming their target at unsaved people. They're entertaining the goats, and the sheep are starving to death. Mm-hmm. And so you see ministries like Rob's ministry today. You see ministries like my own, Brandon, your ministry, which have essentially become churches for the sheep who are being neglected in their own houses of worship, that are now targeting totally unsaved people, thanks to, you know, Peale, Shuler, and Rick Warren. And so we're sort of become a remnant church for a lot of people. In fact, the number one email we get, and I'm sure you guys get it as well, is we can't find a Bible teaching church in our area. Yep. And so when that happens, we just say, hey, you know what? Just start a Bible study. Just start meeting in a small group, and if you want to use our stuff until you get a teacher, go for it, and you have, you know, free license to do that, and you want to use us as your sermon, that's fine. But the church is more than looking at a video screen. The people of God need to be together, and I don't care if it's 2 or 3 or 10,000. God wants his people to meet together regularly, and so we invite people to do that all over the country. And if they want to use our teaching resources to do it, that's fine. We do offer something called online affiliation, not membership, because to us, a member has to be accountable to the elders. You know, how do you know if someone is involved in gross sin, you know, to exercise church discipline over them, which is what elders are supposed to do? You can't do that when someone is remote, but we do say you can affiliate with us if you want to. Don't mistake affiliation for membership, and meet in a small group. If you can't find a church that's faithful in your area, start meeting in a small group, and until God raises up a teacher in your midst, you know, feel free to use our video material.
And as a result, you have a lot of your support for your church comes from people all over the country that are doing that, correct?
Yeah, and it was a learning curve for me. I mean, it was to the point where our bookkeeper had to actually explain to me, when you look at the finances coming in, And our accounting is sort of structured, and I like it this way, where the pastor doesn't have a lot of knowledge of who gives what. And I kind of like that because that allows me to be an equal opportunity offender, so to speak. I don't have to, you know, suck up to the rich people kind of thing, because I don't know who gives what. But it got to a point where our bookkeeper had to sort of explain to me, you got to look at what's happening here. Probably about 40% of our donations come online. And so there's just as many people, almost as many people giving remotely as is give that attend regularly. And so if that's the way God wants to work for the present, then, you know, we're available in his leading. But our real goal is to get people independent of us and really start their own sort of house church movement. It almost seems like here in the United States, we're going back to sort of a house church movement.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to this headline here. Jerusalem Post, Israel Workers Union cancels strike after Netanyahu suspends judicial reform. This follows the announcement on Monday morning that this group would coordinate a far-reaching labor strike. Here, I didn't show this picture last night because I didn't know if it was legit or not. Apparently, it is legit. The Jerusalem Post is now carrying this picture. And this was supposedly the umbrella movement of resistance against dictatorship unfurls a banner of Netanyahu, Putin, and Trump in central Tel Aviv to kick off the 12th week of protests. 12th week of protests. You know, this is going on, these protests, by the way, are going on in France, and the left and the right are uniting in France for protests. The corporate media is largely blocking that out. Now we've got protests in Israel. I don't know that I would say this is the left and the right coming together over there in Israel. I think this is a lot of the left. And in fact, I've got a headline today that says that they're going to have people on the right planning their own protest. I think I have that. Here we go. Right-wing activists plan leftist traitors. Thousands protest in support of judicial reform. So the right is now planning their own protest against what is reportedly the left planning these. But there you go. They're wanting to arrest Putin, Netanyahu, and Trump. For those who don't understand what's going on there, this judicial reform apparently is going to give the Knesset, I guess their equivalent of our Congress, the ability to overrule the Supreme Court in some decisions. I don't personally care what they do with their legislation over there in their courts. That's up to them. Rob, you and I talked last night. Andy, you and I talked last night on the air. My biggest frustration with Benjamin Netanyahu is I'm not sure he's as smart as we all thought he was. I'm not a big Benjamin Netanyahu fan right now. And I haven't been since I watched the video that I thought was so egregious, I thought it was a deep fake. I thought it was a deep fake, and I had to go see if it was really Benjamin Netanyahu talking about turning the Jewish people over to the big pharma companies and tracking them and everything else. And I thought, wow, that sounds like the Antichrist. No, it turns out it was Benjamin Netanyahu. So now this guy turns around and does this. Whether you agree with the judicial reform or not, to me, isn't the issue. To me, it's a matter of either stupidity, lack of knowledge, arrogance, I don't know what. But when you're facing down Iran and you've got retired Israeli generals saying, we're probably 3 months from striking Iran, when you're this close to a conflict with Iran, why on earth would you divide your nation? Did they not do an internal political survey or poll like all campaigns and White Houses do to take the pulse of the people before they roll something out? Or was this such arrogance that they didn't care, or just, again, political, you know, tone deaf? But this is becoming an issue for them in Israel for a national security, because now Benjamin Netanyahu is saying, we've got some, you know, of our military, and everybody over there at a certain age has to volunteer so many years in the military, as you guys know, making sure the audience remembers that. Netanyahu's saying, this is going to be a problem if some of these people don't show up to serve. So, Rob, my issue is, this has been completely poorly handled by Benjamin Netanyahu. But again, I guess I realized when he rolled out his little speech about turning his people over as guinea pigs to Big Pharma, this man isn't what I thought he was. Doesn't mean I don't support some of his policies, but here's a perfect example where I support the Jewish state, support the Jewish people, but I do not stand in lockstep with the Israeli government, and sometimes I think they can't get out of the way of their own selves. Sometimes the Israeli government is their own worst enemy, particularly when they sponsor stupid bills like we're going to throw people in prison that proselytize the true gospel. I don't know what's going on over there, but they better wake up and realize that on the national, international stage, there's a lot of conservatives and evangelicals that are losing patience with them when they do dumb stuff like this. Now, I know they're lost in blindness and in unbelief, and that's the tribulation is going to catch their attention. But these seem to be, self-inflicted wounds over there. Dr. Lindstedt?
You know, what's taking place there, in many ways, is similar to our country. A protest gets a life of its own. And we were watching some of the live news from Israel just an hour or so ago. And right now, in one of the streets in Israel, the right wing, left wing are just separated by a street. Police are actually keeping them apart. And the left saying, you know, we're trying to keep the progressives from dominating the government. The right saying, we're tired of the conservatives' ruling us. Among the people they interviewed, to show you how crazy this is, was an Arab man who was gay. He was out protesting because he says he doesn't want the government to think that they can be run by conservative Jewish values.
What does he think the nation state of Israel is? I mean, that's what it's supposed to be, right?
See, this thing is being fueled. And there's a number of people that think it's being fueled by the George Soros people that come in. And that's why last night, as the three of us talked, we were saying, we wonder how many of these people really are even from Israel.
Right.
I think it's like any protest. There's some people, and they just like the excitement of a protest. The university kids, they're always glad to get out of a day of class. Later, we'll probably have a chance to talk about some of the bills, but here's one of the things that I think is important. Whatever the sides are, what it does, it puts Israel into chaos. And here's what we know is that the Bible indicates that sooner or later, Israel is going to make such a mess that they're going to stand alone. And today, when Netanyahu really kind of backed down a little bit because he said, okay, I'm going to delay the judicial discussion for a period of time because he said the national security has got to come first. And he gave the illustration of Solomon dividing the baby. And he said, you know, there was one woman who loved the baby and said, no, don't divide the baby. You know, give it to her. And the other one said, no, divide the baby. And so that's how Solomon found out the true mother. And he said, right now, both groups are saying we love Israel. But he said, you know, there's one that's true and there's one that's not. And he said, we've got to delay. We've got to find out who really is the mother. What are the values that are going to guide this country to make it safe and to keep it in possession? So there's some reason that's come about recently. But, wow, it's painful because they're never going to get this protest back in the box again.
Wow. Let's pick it up there with Dr. Andy Woods and Dr. Rob Lindstedt. We'll show you some more screenshots. One official over there is talking about the fact that they're trying to avoid civil war. Netanyahu pauses judicial overhaul, quote, to avoid civil war, end quote, as rival protest groups clash. That's interesting. Jimmy DeYoung used to say he thought that they might come when Israel would have a civil war. Very interesting. We'll be right back. Does your family have an emergency freeze-dried food supply? We offer it at WVWTVstore.com. It has a 25-year shelf life, and it's actually really good. I've had freeze-dried food for my family on hand since 2013. We have available gluten-free. We have a 3-month pack, a 1-year, a 2-year. Many of you are ordering 1 and 2 year, and now we're offering free freight. For some of you, because you're ordering so much, that's going to save you hundreds of dollars. We also have a mega protein kit with real meat and the ultimate breakfast kit. They come in individual pouches, easy instructions to follow, a 25-year shelf life. You can order now at WVWTVstore.com or call 901-468-9357. WVWTVstore.com or call and have all your questions answered by calling 901-468-9357. 9357. Your family should have an emergency food supply on hand. Thank you for your support and making your order. All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Dr. Woods, I want to ask you, we get communication here my staff puts in front of me, people saying, you should be interviewing Amir, what's his name, Safari, or what's his name?
Sarfati.
Uh-huh. I should be interviewing Amir. Well, Jimmy DeYoung pointed out to me several things that Amir was saying and teaching that were out in left field, and so we avoided him. And then you started telling me about debates where you've sat around in a green room at prophecy conferences and got into debates with some of the odd stuff he's teaching too. So just for the record, we avoid Amir. Listen to him, in my opinion, at your own risk. What say you, Dr. Woods?
Well, you know, I haven't listened to him for a while. When I used to listen to him, he would do some pretty good updates on Israel, but I started to notice he was theologically unstable. In other words, he would call Jesus, you know, Michael the Archangel.
What? Wait a minute. Don't the cults teach that?
It's very similar. And wow. He started to get into this kind of mindset, what I think he would deny he's partial rapture, but he actually was promoting partial rapturism because he was saying, if you're not a Zionist, then you're not going to go up in the rapture. And I'm saying, wait a minute now, becoming a Zionist is not a birth truth.
Maybe define what a Zionist is for the new audience.
A lover of Israel. If you're not a lover of Israel, you're not going to be raptured. In other words, if you're not a Zionist Christian, you're going to be left behind at the rapture, which is a partial rapture idea.
And you can document all this, right?
Oh, very, very easily. He was teaching this everywhere until he started to get blowback on it, and then he sort of went into damage control. So that's another, you know, example of theological instability. And, you know, he was trying to jam the rapture into Matthew 24. You know, I don't think the rapture belongs in Matthew chapter 24.
That's the second coming in Matthew 24, correct?
That's correct. And then the icing on the cake is he went into being a pro-vax person. And I was thinking to myself, think how many people are following his example and are being physically damaged by the vax. So ever since I started to see these sort of things become more apparent, I started to move away from him. And, you know, to talk like this today is almost a heresy because a lot of people.
But doesn't that tell you that there's a problem? If you cannot point out your disagreements theologically without it being heresy, then hasn't someone put somebody up on a pedestal too high?
Well, I've been banned from certain broadcasts. I've been banned from certain conferences.
Well, you know, I know where you've been banned from. You're just as well.
Yeah, and so, you know, my function as a pastor is to protect the sheep. That's what I do. That's what shepherds do. And if that job necessitates me from time to time having to warn people about others that want to come in and bring theological confusion. And so, you know, if that gets me banned from certain groups, you know, so be it. My conscience is clear, you know, before God. So I am not one who goes around, you know, recommending Amir Sarfati to people, you know, partly for the reasons that I've explained. I could probably go into a lot more detail, but I've probably, you know, dug myself a deep enough hole already.
Well, again, we've never in all the years talked about him other than a couple things Jimmy DeYoung said, because we just, you know, it just wasn't on our agenda. We had no agenda on this one. And so, but we just keep getting emails and communications. We need to interview this guy. I'm like, no, we don't. We don't. And I think we're to the point where we have to warn people a little bit. Be very careful. That's our theological analysis.
And let me just say one thing. The opinions represented here represent my opinions and not this station or its sponsors.
Yeah. So we're not trying to drag Rob Lindstedt in the middle of a controversy either.
No. But you asked me a pointed question, and you know it deserves an honest answer.
Yeah. All right. So let's keep moving. What's happening in Israel? There's a talk again of this turning into a civil war. Do you remember, Dr. Woods, when Jimmy DeYoung was talking about a potential civil war coming to Israel? You remember that?
Well, yeah, and here's how he gets it. In Ezekiel 37, which is a millennial passage, it says the north and the south are going to be put back together where there's no more division. Well, if that's true, that kind of presupposes that prior to God doing that work, there is a divided Israel. And so this division that we're seeing, and I recognize the kingdom was divided, you know, after Solomon's reign, 1 Kings chapter 11 and 12, about 931 BC. But it sort of presupposes Ezekiel 37, putting together the north and the south, indicates that there's a division prior to God doing it. And so perhaps this division that we're seeing here is sort of stage setting for the work of unity that God is going to do with the regenerated Israel in the millennial kingdom. That's what I remember Dr. DeYoung speaking of.
And what are your thoughts on that, Dr. Lindstedt?
Well, I think I probably see it on a bigger scale. When I go to Israel, I've watched the country change so much. There was a time when they were proud of the fact that they were Jewish, and they worked together. They may not have agreed on every issue, but they worked together because they saw themselves surrounded by the enemy, and the enemy outside was a bigger foe to them than inside. Today, we're finding Israel is so diverse in its religious practices. Very few conservative Jews left, partly because their education system has fostered liberal thinking, and it's horrible. I look at the homosexuality. You know, the homosexuality capital of the world is supposedly Tel Aviv. And so I see that Israel has compromised on so many things. What I think is interesting is that in Matthew 24, he speaks of the fig tree coming to life, but it's not bearing fruit. It's leaves. It's a national structure. Even in Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, we see Israel born. They're a military faction, and they're a national faction, but they're not necessarily a biblical faction. I think that's going to come in the tribulation when they see how bad they've been fooled by this Antichrist, and a third of them return back and accept Jesus as the Messiah, but two-thirds are cut off. Wow, you talk about being unpopular among Jewish people, because I have many friends, and they say, you know, if you're saying that it's going to be as bad as the Holocaust, and I say, I think it's going to be worse than the Holocaust, because, you know, two-thirds of Israel will be cut off. That's about as judgmental as you can get. But the reason is because God is a holy God, and God has given a standard. And that standard's the same for Israel, same for America. It's the same for the whole world. And they're violating the standards of a holy God.
Absolutely. Here's the IDF chief. The Israeli Defense Force chief of staff issues a public statement, a public letter addressed to all active and reserve servicemen, saying that, quote, Israel, quote, has never known such days of external threats combining with an internal storm, end quote. Quote, this is a time for responsibility, end quote. He essentially said the overhaul plan is not worth a civil war. Well, he's right about that. I mean, the timing on this, I mean, I guess we really have to worry about how the globalists, as Dr. Lindstedt has already alluded to, how the globalists are taking advantage of this, much less Iran, right, Dr. Woods?
Yeah, I mean, what does Bible prophecy predict? It predicts a weakened Israel. I mean, that's why Israel is reaching out to the Antichrist for security, which Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, will start the tribulation period. So obviously Israel is not going to reach out to the Antichrist for protection unless they see the need for that protection. And so events like we're seeing here, a divided Israel, thinking of the words of Jesus, a house divided against itself cannot stand, in my mind, is clearly stage setting for, you know, this coming treaty.
And then let's just turn back real quick to America as we look at things, you know, unfolding here in our nation. Here is one headline today: state-sanctioned kidnapping. California bill would give therapists power to take children over 12 from parents without accusation evidence, or trial. The proposed bill would allow a mental health professional to place a child as young as 12 in a residential shelter facility without parental knowledge or consent and without there being any prior allegations of incest or child abuse. You know, this is, I guess, a bill, proposed a bill that would allow this to happen. We're going to obviously keep tabs on it. We'll be bringing on, we're going to be bringing on our attorney from out there in California, Nicole Pearson, on this, if we can, this week. Because this fits with what we were saying, guys, last fall. There's a multi-million dollar health facility being built, hospital health facility being built in Orange County, and that's just one county. And we have increasingly been talking about, particularly since the release of my documentary, Brainwashed America Part 1, that they have weaponized health. They've weaponized Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud. They've weaponized psychology and Marxism. And now, if you are a patriotic American male, you got toxic masculinity and mentally unstable. If you defend traditional biblical ideas, you have certain things that are not negotiable, you're an authoritarian. You're into authoritarianism from the 1950 books, Authoritarianism by Theodore Adorno from the Marxist school, which those guys at the Frankfurt School were influenced by Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud and the father of postmodernism, Friedrich Nietzsche, and from German philosopher George Hegel. But this is bad. I mean, this is really bad, Dr. Lindstedt. I mean, we're going to – I mean, you've got how many kids that are under your mentorship there at your school? How many? And think about this going on in your state of Kansas.
Yeah, we have over 500 in this facility. And we have, by God's grace, we have schools at a number of other locations. You know, one of the things that I think is a real warning flag for America, look how many children are being raised by one parent. Mm. I was reading some statistics the other day of one-parent homes. And do you know that right now in America, we have three times more single-parent homes than anywhere in the world. That's just, it's almost hard to believe. But what has happened is we've taken the institutions that God has given to us. What are they? Well, it's the church, it's marriage, it's the family. And what we've seen is, as we were talking earlier, the destruction of the church, the destruction of the local church. Part of it is because they want to have it under a big head. They're always trying to establish a headquarters. What's wrong with having the headquarters in heaven with Jesus Christ being the head and every local church accountable to him? The family, you know, we've done everything. You know, we support Little League baseball, but I'd like to support family baseball. You know, let's bring marriage back. Let's bring family back. Let's bring accountable local churches back, and that's, I think that's what would bring America back to a sense of reality spiritually.
Here's a poll from the Wall Street Journal reports, America pulls back from values that once defined it. This is a Wall Street Journal NORC poll, and guess what's going backwards, folks? Patriotism, religious faith, and having children. There you go, Dr. Woods and Dr. Lindstedt. I mean, what Dr. Lindstedt was just talking. Patriotism, religious faith, and having children and other priorities that help define the national character for generations are receding in importance to Americans, according to a new poll. Oh, wow. National suicide. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Phone line's open. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Several years ago, I worked with a team and we developed Extractgevity. It's an all-natural energy and health drink. All-natural energy and health drink. It includes bilberry extract, red wine extract, grapeseed extract, pine bark extract, and vitamin C. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go do your own homework on the benefits of these extracts that are loaded with antioxidants. You can order it now at mystore.com. You'll get a savings if you use the code B66. Use the code B66 and you'll save. It's available at mystore.com. Again, an all-natural energy and health drink. And, of course, I have to throw in the disclaimer. This product has not been approved or evaluated by the FDA. It's not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But please, check out the all-natural energy and health drink, Extractgevity, at mystore.com. All right, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Our thoughts and prayers are with the folks over in Nashville today, a Covenant Christian School, Covenant Christian School. Nashville woman, 28, armed with two assault, what they call assault rifles, but the media's got to get the word assault rifles in there, right? With two rifles and a pistol, is revealed to be school shooter. Three children and three adults are gunned down at private Christian elementary school before police took her out. Okay, we'll be following this. That's something you don't see very often, is it? An armed woman doing this. That is really rare. I don't think mass shooters and school shooters and public shooters are often women. That's going to be, very intrigued to dig into this and find out what was going on with that. 1-800-347-9829 is the number, 1-800-347-9829. My guest is Dr. Andy Woods of andywoodsministries.org, andywoodsministries.org, as well as Dr. Rob Lindstedt of BibleTIPNow.org. Bible Tip stands for Truth and Prophecy. BibleTIPNow.org. Let's go to Ken from Appleton, Wisconsin. Ken, line one, thanks for calling in today, Ken.
Yes, I'd like to comment on what you're saying about churches and the difficulty of finding a good church. I have a quote from A.W. Tozer, if I could read. In many churches, Christianity has been watered down until the solution has been so weak that if it were a poison, it would not hurt anyone. And if it were a medicine, it would not cure anyone. And we could go way back, of course, obviously the book of Jude talked about how men have crept in unawares. And I want to raise a challenge to the listeners out there that are without a church. The Lord Jesus Christ establishes church. And in my experience, I have found that when people can't find a good church, oftentimes there's a factor in their own hearts, their own pride, that they get something stuck under their craw and they're not willing to listen to sound leadership. I truly believe that there's a problem of finding good churches, but I really believe that each individual needs to analyze themselves first. The challenge is, you know, my people love to have it so, as Jeremiah would say, that the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their own means.
Yeah.
So that's my two cents.
No, I think you're right on, Ken. That's why I said earlier in the commentary, there, you know, if you're looking for the perfect church, you're not going to find it, you know, because we're not perfect. And if you do find the perfect church, don't go, because you'll mess it up, right? But there are no perfect people. There are no perfect churches, you know, and we're all spiritually sick with this disease called sin and the old man, you know, and all of us as believers are struggling with the old man and the new mind, right? I don't know about you guys, but one of the things I look forward to with heaven is that struggle ending, right? That constant, don't you get tired of being conflicted because, you know, the Holy Spirit convicts you constantly? I don't get tired of being convicted, but you're like, that's a struggle. Yep, that's, you know, it's going to be wonderful to get rid of that struggle and that antithesis and that conflict between the old man and the new mind and be done with that. That'll be a ball and chain that's gone. That'll be one of the glorious things about heaven, won't it, Rob?
Sure will be. You know, can you imagine going through a day and not worry about sinning?
Exactly.
I mean, what a relief to know that you're not going to say something that's going to dishonor the Lord. You're not going to do something that's going to dishonor the Lord. And so maybe that's one of the joys of heaven. It's not the only joy, but it's going to be one of the joys of heaven.
Yeah, that cognitive dissonance we feel, right? Let's go to Eric. Not to mention, who's not ready to get out of this crazy world, right? Eric from Eau Claire. Eric, line one, or three, line three. Eric, thanks for calling in, Eric.
Hi, Brandon. I appreciate you for all you do. Thank you for all the free programming.
Thank you.
Please know that it's not appreciated. And I appreciate this program. I just want to share this. I'm just being honest with you. This whole two-part rapture thing, you talked about Matthew 24 a little while ago, and you said that you thought that was the second coming. So then basically everything he was saying to those people, those disciples, is like for people that will have missed the rapture. they would have, the people that were ready to meet the Lord would have been gone 7 years before. So all this discourse is related to, you know, that type of situation. When I first got saved in 1985, I believed this very thing because Jimmy Swaggart taught that, and my Ryrie Bible said that, and boy, that means it's true. And I forcefully taught that or shared that with people of my friends. And then I got to the point where, well, if I'm going to say this authoritatively, I've got to know where I can find this in the Bible. So the first thing I looked for was, okay, where's this seven-year tribulation? Well, had a hard time finding it. And then since then, this whole thing about where's this third temple or this new temple going to be created and made, and that seems to me to be based on assumptions. And I just think that, to be fair, you guys should line by line take us through the scriptures that show this, like the Daniel 9, chapter 9 thing. You know, it starts out talking about the Messiah, and then all of a sudden you want to take an Antichrist in the second part of it, and it's like, I don't see that.
Okay,
so,
you know, this
you
is
guys
a great
would
call.
Help us with-
this is a great call, Eric. I'm only going to cut you off because I'm looking at the clock. I want to give him a chance to do what you're asking him to do, but I think this is a great call, and I appreciate your calling in to challenge because these guys do have answers, and I like the fact that you and I agree on so much, and you compliment the program, and you appreciate it, and yet we can still have civil, kind discourse on eschatology and still agree on the gospel and so many things. So this is a great call, Eric. Dr. Lindstedt, you want to go first?
Sure. God's word promised that they would have 70 sevens, 490 years. You come to the crucifixion, and you got 483 years, so there's seven more years that God would owe the people. Line up Revelation chapter 11. He talks about this time, I think it's the beginning of the tribulation, 42 months. From this point, chapter 12, we see the Antichrist coming. So there is a seven-year period there. It's certainly there. And in Matthew 24, think about this. It says that when he gives the analogy of Noah, he said, it's like the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. He took them in destruction. Let me tell you this, that the coming of Jesus Christ is not to take us away to destruction, but the taking away in Matthew 24 is for destruction. And so that completely destroys the idea that there's that this is a rapture passage. It cannot be a rapture passage.
Dr. Woods, quickly, music's playing.
Well, as far as not giving a detailed explanation, I mean, I did a Daniel series in depth covering the 70 weeks. My people joked we were in the 70 weeks longer than Daniel was. And, you know, get the book by Alva J. McLean, The 70 Weeks of Daniel. Sir Robert Anderson dealt with the 70 weeks of Daniel. I mean, this is an old issue that's been thoroughly, thoroughly exegeted and discussed.
Thank you, guys. Great calls, great conversation. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.